thank you to my sponsors of this podcast, Little Dish, who make delicious kids' meals and help to make family life and feeding kids less stressful. Hello and welcome back to How to Feed with Charlotte Sterling Reed, the parenting podcast which offers reassurance, confidence and advice on how to feed your baby, toddler and your whole family. Before we get things underway, I want to say a big thank you to our podcast sponsors, Little Dish. I'm so grateful for them letting us come to their HQ and host this podcast recording. Today's episode will follow on from last week's episode with Joe Wicks, where we talked about his experience of feeding a large family and trying to make good, healthy food the focus of their family. For those of you who might want a little more guidance, the how and the what of feeding young children, this episode is for you. We're talking today about getting the balance right when it comes to feeding our children. Now, one thing that I want you to know from the very start is that very few or even no children are going to be having a perfectly balanced diet every single day and at every single meal. It's just not possible for it to be this way. We've seen in my previous episodes, such as the one I did with Anna Martha on family overwhelm, and the one I did with Imogen on fussy eating, that life just isn't that simple. I always think it's important to remind ourselves that we realistically aren't in charge of what our children actually eat. We can produce the food, we can set up a nice mealtime routine, and we can offer a balance of foods. But ultimately, we cannot force them to eat. And I think this is why feeding kids is such an emotive topic for many parents. But on this podcast episode, we're going to talk very much about what we can do when it comes to feeding our kids. However, before we dive into all of that, I want you to keep a couple of things in mind before we start. Number one, as I've already mentioned, we aren't in charge of what they eat, only what we offer. And number two, relationships with food, including our own, are constantly changing and evolving and adapting. And if your kid refuses broccoli, it doesn't mean they always will. If they're refusing to sit at the table, it's not necessarily going to be a lifelong habit. And if they won't try anything new, it's unlikely that that will last forever. Phases with food are so common. Try to take a step back from meals and think about them as being a part of a journey with food, not a final destination. Think about some foods that maybe you didn't like when you were a kid and now how much you love them. For example, I didn't like the carrot juice that my mum would make me every single morning, but now it's actually my juice of choice if I'm at a nice breakfast buffet. I also hated ratatouille. It's a meal that is now a staple in my household. Things change, you adapt, and so will your kids. So try not to worry too much. Before we go any further, I also want to explain these three little words. A balanced diet. We hear this phrase discussed all the time when it comes to food, but I don't think that many of us actually understand its full meaning. There's lots of misconceptions out there, but when it comes to a balanced diet for our kids, this essentially means offering them, number one, whole grains and starchy foods. So for example, this might be breads, rice, potato, pasta, quinoa, chapati. Number two, veggies and fruits. So for example, it might be courgettes, avocados, tomatoes, onions, berries. Number three, proteins and iron-rich foods. So this is things like lentils, beans, meat, fish, eggs, nuts and seeds. And number four, dairy and or alternatives. So this might be breast milk, or it might be yogurt or cheese or other milk and dairy alternatives. And number five, water for hydration. In doing this, we allow ourselves and our kids to obtain the majority of the nutrients that they need every single day for their growth, for developing, for their immune system, for their health and well-being generally, and just for growing to be the best versions of themselves that they can be. So a balanced diet can be really important. And for example, whole grains and carbohydrates, these contain fiber, which is important for digestive health, and B vitamins, which is important for releasing energy from our cells. They also contain plenty of calories, which are really needed for children to grow and develop. They're important for every aspect of living, essentially. Virgin fruits also contain water for hydration, fiber for digestive health, but also vitamins and minerals like vitamin C, which is important for our immune system and helping our body just to function properly and at its best every day. Iron and protein, they're important for building our bodies, repairing our muscles and helping to build our bone structures and helping our cells to function on a day-to-day basis. And lastly, dairy and dairy alternatives are essential for offering us vitamins and minerals, things like calcium as well as protein, which helps us to build our bone health and look after our muscles. So each food group, as you can see, has different functions. And I know that's a really complicated message to try and get across in a very short podcast, but it's not always black and white as it sounds, because many of the foods that are, for example, in the fruit and veg group, or many of the foods that are, for example, in the starchy food group, contain the same nutrients as one another. So it's not completely black and white. And that's why it's really important to try and eat a balance and to try and include these food groups during most of our main meals each day. If we're able to do that, it means that we'll be likely to give our children enough vitamins and minerals to keep us healthy. But to put it simply, it's about trying to make sure we get all the nutrients that we need overall. That's what a balanced diet is all about. So based on all of this, I've put together my top tips for feeding kids and families a balanced diet. Number one, try to plate up with those food groups in mind so that you're building a balanced meal every time you create a meal. Number two, think about what your children are eating over a week and not just over a single occasion, because single occasions aren't reflective of our overall diets. Number three, find balance in snack time as well as main meals. Making the most of snacks for young children is really important too. Number four, think variety. So try and think about different foods, because different foods contain completely different sets of nutrients to each other. Take, for example, a banana and an avocado. They contain a completely different wealth of nutrients. So the more variety your kids are exposed to, the more nutrients they're likely to get in their diet as well. Number five, offer and model, but don't pressure. We know that putting pressure on children to eat has the opposite effect. So sure, offer that food and be a role model to them, but avoid that pressure at the table. Number six, pop a list of food groups on your fridge as a reminder of the foods that you haven't tried and what you can include. Try new things. I also have some handy checklists on my website for this if you would like the help. Number seven, think about balance for you too. Kids are so much more likely to copy what they see you doing than what they hear you telling them to do. Number eight, balanced meals don't need to be complex. Leftovers, fridge raids, buffet meals can all be perfectly well balanced. Also, meals like cereals with extras added on top, or toast and topping with a piece of fruit, can also be perfectly balanced too. And number nine, lastly, if every meal isn't balanced, that's okay too. Now, here is for the part of my podcast where I try and answer some of your FAQs.
Hey, Charlotte, I'm so confused about fiber and whether I should be avoiding fiber in my kids' diet.
So fiber is a complicated one, and many parents are confused about fiber. And that is because young children aren't recommended to have too much fiber in their diet, because actually it can bulk out their tiny tummies and actually displace some of those other food groups that are really important too. If they're filling up on lots of fiber, their little tummies might get full and might not want to eat some avocado or some veggies or some of the other food groups. So it's really important that we don't let children only have high fiber foods in their diet. However, having said this, many children don't actually get enough fiber. So for me as a nutritionist, I think it is really important we do encourage children to have plenty of fiber. And even from a young age, it's absolutely fine to offer them whole grain and brown varieties of carbohydrates and starchy foods as well. But it's good to give them a bit of a mix. So you can absolutely offer fiber in their diet, go in there nice and slowly to start with. And as they get a little bit older, you can build up and start offering more in the way of whole grains and higher fiber foods.
I'm finding portion sizes really tricky for my kids. Do you know how much they should be eating?
So portion sizes are always really tricky, and it's something I am asked about by parents all the time. The most important thing to know is that for children under one, there are no guidelines around portion sizes. And the reason for this is that babies, when they are weaning, all take to weaning at completely different paces. Some love their food right away and going to gobble up a lot, and others take a little bit of time to adjust and get used to solid food. All of this is absolutely fine. So there's no guidelines for children under one to allow for this. There are guidelines for children who are plus one. However, I like to think of those more as serving suggestions, because all children are very, very different. And just as an example, my two kids eat completely differently when it comes to portion sizes. My son has a really big appetite for meals and often eats really big portions, whereas my daughter has very small portions, and I have to adapt every time I'm offering them meals to make sure I'm offering something that's going to be reasonably accepted by both of them. And that can be quite challenging. So that's really why it's not that helpful to have portion size recommendations for children, because they are all likely to be so different. The thing I think is the most important is allowing them to feed to appetite so that they understand their own hunger and fullness cues themselves from a really young age. If you start this during weaning, if you allow them to understand when they're full and to say, no, I don't want any food anymore, pushing the plate away, giving you all of those signs, or simply telling you, I'm not hungry, I don't want anymore, and you listen to those signs, it can really help them to be in tune with their own appetite and know how much they need and when. The other thing I do with my children is I often go in and offer smaller portions to them initially. This can help them to A, not feel too overwhelmed by huge portions. Also, it allows them to slow the pace of that meal down. So they take a little bit more time eating it and can again recognize those hunger signals. And also with my daughter as well, she would be quite overwhelmed by a big portion of food. So I go in there with a small portion for her, and it means that there's less wastage as well. So if they haven't eaten some of the big portion, there's a lot less wastage, and I can just put that food in the fridge or freezer and use it another day.
Hi, Sala. I wondered if the 5 a day rule applies to adults and children. So basically, does my baby need to eat 5 a day?
5 a day is a really great message, and it has been understood by quite a lot of families and parents, but actually a lot of parents are unsure of whether it relates to young children. The truth of the matter is it doesn't really relate to very young children in the same sense that it does for adults. We don't want children to be eating huge amounts of fruit and veg and them to be displacing other food groups again. So for example, if they're eating and filling up on fruit and veg only, it might impact their intake of iron-rich foods or protein or carbohydrates, for example, in their diet. However, having said that, the 5 a day is still a really good message, and young children can have 5 portions of fruit and veg, but we need to be mindful that those portions are me-sized portions. So the best way to describe this is that they should be roughly the size and shape of your child's hand or the palm of their hand. That means that if you're offering them 5 portions, you're not offering them 5 adult-sized portions. For example, a large banana would be quite a big portion for us as an adult. So offering that to a young child is likely to fill them up and make them not hungry for their next meal. If you want to offer plenty of fruit and veg, it's a really good idea, and variety is really key. But if we're going for 5 a day, you want to be making sure you're offering 5 mini portions. And really, 5 a day is more relevant for children who are 2+ and working their way towards the same kind of diet that we eat as adults.
Hi, Charlotte. I would really love to know whether you think kids should be having supplements.
So supplements are another topic that can be really confusing when it comes to children. The first thing I would say is that there are recommendations from our government in the UK about vitamins and about children being recommended those supplements. So in the UK, for children who are having less than 500 mils of formula milk or who are around 6 months of age, the recommendation is for them to have vitamin A, C and D each day. Vitamin D is also recommended from birth if children are breastfeeding as well. A lot of people don't know about that, so don't worry at all if you didn't know. The vitamin A and C are an interesting one, because actually if you're eating a well-balanced diet, if you're having plenty of fruits and vegetables, for example, you are likely to be getting enough in the way of those nutrients. However, when it comes to vitamin D, this is actually very different. Vitamin D is much harder to get through the diet, and actually most of us get the vitamin D that we need by exposure to the sun. But most of our children aren't exposed to the sun very often, and that means that vitamin D is important to be offered in a supplement form. Like I said, if your children are breastfed from birth, it's recommended that they have vitamin D supplements. And if your little ones are on formula milk, then they need to be having vitamin D supplements from when they are having less than 500 mils of formula. And really right up until they're about 5 years of age, this is recommended. Now, when it comes to multivitamins, they might be helpful in some situations. Not all children need multivitamins, but they can be helpful as a safeguard if you think your kids aren't eating well, if they're not getting a balanced diet, if they're restricting their food intake, or if they have multiple allergies, your dietitian might also recommend them.
How much water should my young children be drinking? I'm struggling to get them to drink it.
So for young children, actually, when they're babies, they don't need a lot in the way of water. The reason for this is because they get most of their fluid from their breast or formula milk. And also, we have to remember there also is a lot of fluid often in their foods from a young age. Once babies get to about 1 year of age, we need to be focusing a little bit more on getting them to drink from a cup. And this is more about getting them used to drinking, getting them used to the taste of water. But the recommendation is from 1 to 3 year old that they have about 3 to 4 cups of water a day. And that's just small cups. They don't need to be big cups. And when they are more like 2 to 3 years of age, they need about 4 or 5 small cups of water a day. After 6 months of age, that water doesn't need to be boiled and cooled anymore. You can offer it straight from the tap, but really it's about getting children used to drinking water. So we want to try and encourage you to do that right from weaning age. You can do that as well by giving them special cups or bottles, by trying to introduce water with each mealtime. I always found that a really helpful strategy in my home. I always make sure that at every mealtime my little ones have water so that they get used to drinking and that I know that at least one cup has been drunk at each mealtime. But you can try and make it interesting for them by getting them to pour the water themselves. You can try and make it interesting for them by, like I said, getting them a new exciting cup for them to drink from. And also, really importantly, lots of role modeling. Let them see you drinking water from a cup too. You can also do things like adding a slice of lemon or lime or diffusing some mint or some orange in their water as well to make it have a little bit more flavour and add a little bit more interest if you want to.
Hi, Charlotte. My daughter's not a fan of breakfast and, you know, she doesn't really ever want to eat it. You know, obviously I'm a bit concerned, but I'm just really wondering, is it okay to skip meals with kids?
So this is a really interesting one because this is exactly what I had with my own daughter, Ada. She was not interested in breakfast. And it was a bit of a shock for me because actually my son was a big breakfast eater. So all of a sudden my daughter came along and once she was weaning, she just wasn't interested in having food in the morning at all. So what I did is I've always kept offering it to her. So she's always got that opportunity to have some breakfast in the morning if she wants to. It was a bit of a learning journey with her as well. And I worked out that actually she wasn't hungry for breakfast, but actually around about 10 o'clock, which is largely a snack time for many children, she actually did have quite a big appetite. So I used to tap into that snack time and really offer her quite a rounded snack or re-offer her the breakfast again if she hadn't eaten it that morning. I think it's really important to know that children are all really different. They don't all fit into these molds and aren't all going to accept a breakfast, lunch, dinner and snacks in between. They're all so different. So sometimes you have to just go with the flow a little bit. Learn your child, learn what works for them. And it's okay to adapt it and go against the guidelines or against the grain. So even now, Ada is a small breakfast eater. I will always give her a small portion of breakfast. If I give her anything large, it's overwhelming and I know she's going to push the bowl straight away. So I always offer her a very small portion. I allow her to eat to appetite and then I try and top her up on whatever she has or hasn't had a snack around about 10 o'clock in the morning or around whatever your snack time is. It's okay to adapt and offer breakfast at a slightly different time if that works for your family. But in my experience, having a really nice routine can still help. So I stick with my routine and I just allow her to eat at whichever mealtime she decides she wants to eat the most at. Sometimes she really surprises me and eats a huge amount at breakfast. And sometimes she won't eat anything at all until lunch. And then she'll really go to town on that meal. So children are very good at following their own appetite. And sometimes it's okay to let them do that.
Hi, Charlotte. I was wondering if it's okay to raise my baby as a vegetarian. Will they get a balanced diet and all the necessary nutrients that they need?
It's absolutely fine to offer your baby a vegetarian diet. I see so many families who are deciding to offer more of a plant-based diet or reducing their meat intake, and that's absolutely fine. The one thing you do need to think about, though, is if you are taking something out of the diet, we need to be replacing the nutrients in that. So, for example, meat and fish contain lots of beneficial nutrients, so things like iron and zinc and omega-3 fatty acids. These are all incredibly important nutrients that children need, especially young children who are growing and developing. So if we're taking things out of the diet, we need to be switching those up with other things. So for example, foods like lentils, beans, pulses, nut butters, olive oil, and also healthy fats like avocados can be really important. Another really good source of some of those nutrients is also tofu, which isn't often offered to young children, but actually is one of my favorite foods to offer kids because it's very nutrient dense and there's loads that you can do with it. And it's also quite a subtle taste. So making sure if you are going for raising your baby as a vegetarian, it's absolutely fine to do so, but you just need to make sure you're replacing the nutrients that you're taking out. I've got loads of blogs on my website all about this if you want to read more, but you just need to know that offering your baby a vegetarian diet is perfectly safe. You just need to work out how to balance it out.
Hi, Charlotte. I have a question on snacks. My kid wants snacks constantly. What's your advice on offering snacks to little ones?
So snacks is definitely a conversation that a lot of parents have, and there's a lot of questions around what snacks should be offered when to young children, especially during the school holidays. Kids often do want snacks constantly, but often this is about the type of snacks that is offered. So as I mentioned already, it's a really good idea to offer snacks that are balanced and contain some of those food groups in, so that you're topping them up on energy and nutrients when you do offer those snacks. The other thing that is really important is to try and stop little ones from grazing on snacks throughout the day. If they're helping themselves to snacks, when you place a meal in front of them, it's unlikely that they're going to have much in the way of appetite to encourage them to want to sit still and eat a full meal. So quite often, if your little one is helping themselves, or they are grazing, or they are having plenty of snacks, it's likely to impact their appetite for those meal times. The best thing you can do is to try and have a regular routine around when you offer those snacks. So for example, it might be something like breakfast with a snack in between, and then lunch with another snack, and then dinner. It'll be different for every family, but trying to have a routine can really help you to keep on track of what they're having and help them to learn a little bit more about their own appetite. Some children might need a visual cue. So for example, if they're asking for snacks constantly, you might want to say to them, oh, sorry, it's not time for snacks right now. We've got about half an hour and it's going to be lunchtime. So trying to really stick to that. And you might want to draw it out on a little schedule, so you've got a little time with clocks on it. And then you can say snack, lunch, breakfast, etc. And that can really help children to visualize when a snack is coming. It's really important to try and stick with this and not offer snacks ad lib, because actually if you do offer them ad lib, it's going to have a knock-on effect to the rest of their meal times.
How can I ensure my child is getting all their nutrients if they're really picky with meals?
So it's really, really common for children to go through fussy phases. And I talked a lot about that in the episode that I did with Imogen, where we talked about fussy eating. And I gave lots of tips and advice in the episode after that too. It's really important to try and look at the bigger picture here. Children are likely to go through phases and ups and downs with their appetite, and that's okay. Like I said earlier, it's important to look at what they're eating over a period of a week and not just within one meal or one sitting. You can try and balance meals out. So make sure, like I said, you try and focus those meals on offering a balance of all of those food groups, so that your child has plenty of opportunity to get those energy and those nutrients and those calories that they need each day. But you can't force them to eat. So what you can do is balance meals, offer snacks that are also nutrient rich and that also include some of those food groups in there, so that you're topping up on some of those extra nutrients. Try and also combine some familiar foods. So if you're struggling with their eating, you can make sure that you're offering something on the table, whether it's snack or whether it's breakfast, lunch or dinner, that is familiar to them, that you know they will eat. So you know they're getting some calories in. The other thing I like to do is talk about adding extras at mealtime. So for example, I love to talk about adding extras to porridge, or adding, stirring in things like yogurt or milk to some of the soups and sauces you make, or adding a tin of beans when you're making spaghetti bolognese. Adding extras into their foods can help to boost their nutrients, to boost the nutrition that they're having in their meals, and get all those extras in without them really realizing it so much. So try and put plenty of extras into those mealtimes when you can. And the most important thing, and I know this seems to go against what we're saying here, but try and avoid pressures to eat. If you put lots of pressure on children to eat up, they're less likely to want to do so. So if you're having trouble with fussy mealtimes, go back to that episode that I did on fussy eating. There'll be plenty of tips there, and just make sure you're offering plenty of balance at each mealtime. That's all you can do.
I've been trying to feed my kids healthy food every day, but we're on a budget and I'm finding it really hard. Do you have any advice?
There's this idea that healthy eating has to be expensive. And although it can be very expensive, it really doesn't have to be. And I'm such an advocate of trying to help people to choose ingredients that are super healthy, but also don't have to cost a lot. I max out my freezer a lot, so I always have plenty of frozen veg and frozen fruits in my freezer, and I tap into those a lot. They're so useful to be able to throw into meals, or throw into porridges, or throw into puddings, and they don't cost half as much as fresh fruit and veg. You can also do things like bulk cooking. I find bulk cooking is a really great way to save money. If you bulk cook meals, if you save them in little pots and freeze them, it means you're not wasting food. You're going to be able to use up those ingredients and you can use them when you really need them. So try and bulk cook and make the most of your freezer as much as you can. Also tinned foods, so things like tinned fish, tinned beans, tinned lentils, also tinned fruits and veggies are also really great options. Try and choose ones that are tinned in plain water or plain juice and not brine or added sugar. But those are also really cheap, really good alternatives. And they also last a lot longer. The other thing you can do is try and visit the supermarket at the end of the day when often things are on offer, and also fresh fruit and veg can be a lot cheaper. Also, online these days, there is so much helpful advice on cooking on a budget. So you can basically find whatever meal you like and meal plans that will suit your perfect budget. So make sure you check that out too. Thank you guys so much for listening to my first ever podcast, How to Feed with Charlotte Sterling Mead. If you want to see us back for season two, I really need your help. Please continue your support by liking, commenting, subscribing, and of course, sharing with your friends who might not have had a chance to listen just yet. Lastly, I want to know who you'd like to hear from next time and all of your burning questions that I might not have answered in season one. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you to my sponsors of this podcast, Little Dish, who make delicious kids' meals and help to make family life and feeding kids less stressful.